This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now, here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
And we're happy to go all the way over to Rome just for you and bring along Ashley Nerona for the latest. Hello, Ashley. Great to have you on today.
Glenn, welcome all the way over here in Rome. Great to have you. Great to be with you. Thank you.
And thanks to that modern technology, you sound like you're right next to me in the studio. So praise the Lord for technological improvements, and we appreciate
praise
that.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Well, hey, praise the Lord, too, that Pope Francis is back at it another week of getting closer to regular general audiences now, huh?
That's right. In fact, another live general audience, the second, in fact. And this again was held in the courtyard of San Damaso. No tickets required. So pilgrims were able to file in after having their temperature taken. And then, of course, sitting at least 1 meter apart, the chairs were set up accordingly. And today, Pope Francis continued his reflections on healing the world. And his theme was love and the common good. Now, he says that only by seeking these things, love and the common good, can we come out of this coronavirus situation better than before. So the question he asked was how we ought to respond to this crisis. He says that the Christian response is based on love, but especially the love that God has for us. And it's because of that love that we then, in turn, are called to love everyone else around us. And he said, the tricky part is it's not only our friends and family, but even our enemies. And he acknowledged that this is difficult, but it's something that can be learned. It's something that can be improved upon, and that we should strive to build a civilization of love. He said that that's actually a phrase, that civilization of love was used often by Pope St. Paul VI, by Pope St. John Paul II. And he says that we can build that civilization of love if we avoid selfishness, if we avoid egoism. He says that if we don't do those things, then we are going to, even though we may get out of the virus part of the crisis, we are going to be plagued by a human and social crisis. So he says that when we see others suffering, we cannot pass by. We cannot go our own way. He said that is being like Pontius Pilate. It's washing our hands of others' suffering. Instead, he says that Christians in particular have a duty to promote the common good that is rooted in what he called ethical principles. So we do that as Christians, he said, through the virtue of charity, and that we have the opportunity through our gestures, he said, even the most humble of gestures, that we have the chance to display the image of Christ, that image of Christ within us can be made visible through loving gestures. And then finally, on a similar theme, the Pope has told us that he has his eye on a key date coming up in October the 3rd. He's going to travel to Assisi. He's going to celebrate a private mass there and sign his newest encyclical. It's called Fratelli Tutti, which translates to all brothers. So it's on the practical obligations that flow from all of us being brothers and sisters in Christ and being sons and daughters of God. So, of course, that theme today, love and the common good, Glenn.
Well, Ashley, and being loving in the midst of all the struggles everyone's going through right now helps that light of Christ shine even more brightly to those around us. And lest we forget, they'll know we are Christians by our love, right? We're supposed to be known for loving, not necessarily for the cranky people who don't think any fun should be allowed, right?
And that's what carrying that cross is all about, right? Even when it's tough, helping everyone know that we are Christians by our love. My husband, John, always says that is one that he wears a big cross around his neck. And he says that even that helps him always remember that when people see the way he reacts to things, they will know that he is a Christian. So it's a great reminder of that, Glenn.
Very good. He had some health challenges a few weeks back, but this is a great fact here that Pope Emeritus Benedict has now surpassed the age of the oldest pope ever.
That's right. He sure has. So, of course, he is 93 and nearly 5 months. And so that makes him even older than Pope Leo XIII, who died in 1903. Now, he was only 93 years, 4 months, and 3 days. So Pope Benedict XVI, in fact, has served, imagine this, 34,116 days to this day in the service of God and in wow. the ecclesiastical community. It's so amazing to think about it. Now, a big conversation that's happening over here is how exactly to give him this title, because of course he is Pope Emeritus. So we know that he's certainly the oldest Pope Emeritus. Is he going to be known as the oldest Pope? Nobody knows. History will tell us in the future. But Vatican experts have also pointed out one thing to note is that up for the first 1600 years, we don't know how accurately Pope's ages were actually recorded. So we don't know precise ages, but by recorded history at this point, he has indeed surpassed the oldest living Pope. And in the meantime, we have not gotten a new health update from Pope Benedict in these last couple of weeks. But of course, the last we heard was that his shingles, he's still suffering, of course, from shingles. His private secretary, Archbishop Ganswein, had said that the pain that the Pope is going through, he said, I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. And he, of course, continues to live a quiet life of prayer right here in Vatican City, just a few minutes away from where John and I live. And it's always just a comfort to know that he's there. And I think this story is a great reminder for all of us to pray, especially for Pope Benedict XVI, Glenn.
Historic man in so many ways. Ashley and Rona joining mm-hmm. us from Rome this morning on Morning Air here on Relevant Radio. Been practicing my Italian. I gotta try this Ooh. Out now, right? Where the earthquake was, Amatrice, yes. right?
Ah, hey, that's I did perfect. It.
Very good.
Wow,
very good.
Really well done. Now that's going to come in handy for you, Glenn, too, because that's also a very popular name of a pasta dish here. So you'll be able to order amatriciana perfectly with your accent. And amatriciana pasta actually gets that name because it comes from the very town of Amatrice that you just mentioned. And of course, a few years ago, I reported a lot on a tragic happening here in Italy when on the 26th of August of 2016, a terrible earthquake occurred and hundreds of people were killed in this town of Amatrice. And something that's really been talked about a lot here in Italy this last day is that indeed a sentence was handed down in court, specifically a trial for people who were associated with building two public housing buildings in Amatrice that completely collapsed in the earthquake. Why? Because it was discovered that they were not up to earthquake code, despite the fact that the builders had signed off and made it seem as though they had used the appropriate materials. So the five defendants actually were sentenced. Their sentences total 35 years in prison, as well as fines for damages, specifically for conspiracy to murder and multiple disaster. It's called in Italian, it's translated to something like culpability for leading to disaster, basically. So these buildings were built about 30 years ago. And of course, 18 people died in just those two buildings alone. Three others were injured. So of course, the horrible suffering of the people of Amatrice, this is an important time for us to remember that and to pray for them, especially as they continue to re-piece their lives together after such a horrible situation, Glenn.
Yes, that rebuilding continues long after the headlines have drifted mm-hmm. away. But there is happiness and joy in Italy because it's a country yes. that knows how to celebrate, especially the love of Our Lady.
Oh, I love it. Yes, yesterday for the feast of the Nativity of Our Lady, the birthday of Our Lady. Of course, there's usually many grand celebrations, but we all know that the reality of today is a bit prohibitive of that. But I'll tell you, in my home, in the Narona household, we hosted a ladies' dinner, just an intimate dinner with some friends to celebrate that the birthday of Our Lady. And of course, it wound up with a nice rousing happy birthday with a candle and a cake and some piano. And it was a really special way to celebrate. But in the meantime, in the town of Prato, which is in the Tuscany area, they also had a really special celebration. So the Cathedral of Prato holds a very precious relic. It is known as the Belt of Our Lady. And there's a great story, traditional story attached to this, that before her Assumption, Our Lady handed the belt to St. Thomas, and eventually he gave it to a priest who then handed it down to his own family. And so for generations, it was handed down, until one of the members of that family married a merchant from Prato, Italy. And they eventually decided to donate the relic to the Cathedral of Prato. So every year on the Feast of the Nativity of Our Lady, they have a big celebration. And yesterday they opened with a solemn mass in the cathedral celebrated by the Bishop of Grosseto and the Bishop of Prato. And then after that, they continued with a tradition where they bring candles to the chapel of the Cintola, the chapel of the Belt of Our Lady. Now, how did they manage to do this in COVID times? Well, they limited the capacity to 160 people. So instead of the general public being able to come, as is usually done, they had representatives of the civil and military institutions there. And then after that, they began the 53rd annual historical procession through town. They had only 10 groups this year, but they were in historical costume. They were playing instruments. Of course, they were distancing along the way. But the idea is that the groups in the procession recreate the sounds and the clothing, etc., that have gone along with the history of the relic throughout the centuries. And then eventually the mayor presented a special award. It's called the Golden Lily Award that they give out every year. This year it was presented to health workers. And so specifically to the coordinator of the volunteer services for civil protection for all that health workers have done throughout these COVID months. And the event finished with the priest standing high on a turret of the church, overlooking the whole town, holding up high that relic of the Belt of Our Lady, lifting up the most prized relic of Prato. And it just reminds us of the beautiful and rich ways that we have to celebrate our Catholic faith.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.